I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
It's number 18 in our top 60 and 60.
Here we go.
Now let's get this party started.
This is the top 60 and 60 as the Zone counts you down to the start of the 2022 college football season. And now it's time for today's selection as voted on by the local sports media and you, the fan.
We stay in Provo for our next selection as we highlight an offensive threat for the Cougar offense, who scored 15 touchdowns over the last two seasons and is poised to have another big year in 2022. At number 18, from Brigham Young University, 6'6", 247-pound tight end, Isaac Rex.
Brigham Young University head coach, Kalani Sitake.
Isaac Rex, tight end, had an unfortunate injury last year, but is a huge presence for our quarterback with a big target of 6'6", very athletic, soft hands, can block at the line of scrimmage as well. Next level tight end for us, and a great complement to what we have going on with Dalvin Holker. Looking forward to seeing him healthy and catching balls in the end zone.
This is the Top 60 and 60, presented by Cypress Credit Union, where your future is our future. Top 60 and 60 on 97.5 1280 The Zone.
All right, coming in at number 18, Isaac Rex had 12 touchdowns in the 2020 season, receiving from Zach Wilson. Had three last year, but then went out with the injury. Mm-hmm. But when healthy, this dude is a touchdown machine.
He is. He is. He's, and he's a matchup issue. So I put out the video of Isaac Rex, and I want people to go check this out because this is what BYU's offense does to you. This is a video of Isaac Rex scoring a touchdown against San Diego State 2 years ago when Zach Wilson was making a run through college football that was just incredible. Isaac Rex was a huge piece of what Zach Wilson was doing through that offense and what Aaron Roderick was attempting to do with his offense. So here's the matchups, Scotty. You roll out Gunnar Romney, you roll out Puka Nacua. Maybe you've got a Mason Wake or a Dalvin Holker that's opposite of Isaac Rex. So what happens with San Diego State? Somehow they end up manning up on a quick outside go release for Isaac Rex. And they man him up with a defensive end. Because at some point, even in a nickel package, at some point, you start to run out of options. So they end up in a man situation. The defensive end bumps him hard at the line of scrimmage. But Isaac's really good on his release and gets to the outside of that end and then just outruns him. And Zach Wilson just drops it over the top on kind of a post route. And right, he ends up kind of coming up through the seam in the release. But That's what Aaron Roderick's trying to do. And Jaren Hall can throw that route extremely well. So anytime you can confuse a defense, they end up manning up on Isaac because they're trying to deal with Holker, who's a better receiving tight end. Isaac is more of a universal tight end, or they're dealing with one or two other targets. Isaac Rex oftentimes, especially in goal line seasons in that 2020 season,
yeah,
especially in the goal line situations, Isaac Rex pops open, and he's very, very good.
San Diego State's usually a really good defensive team. What in the world are they doing there? Are they anticipating that D end is going to be able to jam him up? Are they anticipating they're going to get pressure? Are they just playing a numbers game? Like, how does that happen?
Well, I think that every once in a while you can catch a defense, whether they're looking at a run situation or – but really it comes down to what type of weapons you have and what you're trying to guard against with Zach Wilson. But it's not often you're going to catch Isaac Rex on a DN on a quick-release post. That's best-case scenario. Like if the world could ever present you a really – it's a tight end – that's being guarded by a defensive end, and that tight end's on some type of quick release. And I think that was like a 20-yard. I think they were at the 20, and Zach Wilson just touched past it right over the top. And you did not have over-top safety help. Safety help had split to the outside, and you had nothing over the top on the inside. You know, I played that defensive end position, and Scotty, I'd say in a season playing the defensive end position, I may have ended up in coverage like – maybe, you know, just trying to think back, maybe 15, 20 times through an entire season.
And, any PBUs?
No, but I did have a touchdown scored right over the top of me. So
you know the feeling.
Yeah, against New Mexico. I ended up somehow on a fullback that was coming across, and I was trying to run with him, and I just lost him in the back of the end zone. And that sucks. But then you come off the sideline, you're like, why are you guys having me try to cover a fullback? That's stupid. You tell me who's responsible for this. No, I didn't say
that. Does my number start with a 5? No.
You do feel stupid, but nobody really takes it hard on you. But this is what BYU's offense is going to be able to do to defenses. You pick your poison.
It's a mismatch. It's a matchup nightmare.
It is because, you know, you threw in the Haemuli transfer out of Stanford, and we could throw in the Hill, the young receiver. We've talked about Holker and Rex. You know Pau and Gunner are going to be mismatches and nightmares as long as Gunner can get back and feeling better. And man, it's BYU's offense is going to be lights out. Just talking about that Baylor play-by-play voice, it is a quick reminder that Baylor-BYU week two of the season should be a nationally highlighted game.
Yeah.
That's a Baylor Bear team that won their conference last year. And a BYU team that, 11 wins last year? What was it?
Was it 10 or 11?
Somewhere in that range. It was a lot.
BYU won exactly a lot of games last year.
They won exactly a ton of games last year.
BYU 10-3. Would have got 11, but had that bowl game debacle.
Yeah, and everybody holds that against them.
Which, I don't know if I really hold that against BYU.
I don't.
It's a miserable game against a miserable opponent. You had injuries.
No quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't hold it against him.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.